Not sure. Damn, he was connected, but it's like they're going run it back. Welcome back, everybody, for another episode. Make sure you tune into the other deal episodes that are going to be pushed out on the daily. Getting back to schedule. And back with my boy, Jalen Jackson. He was on one of my earlier episodes.
What's good? What's good? But you want to jump disconnected on some walls?
Yeah, it's all good. We're going to run it back, though. Yeah, like I said before, we got some tough stuff I'm going to talk about, so just going to run it back, like we were saying before, back to the topic we were talking about before, this one, where police are looking for the suspect in the homicide at a popular haunted house. Detroit asking for the public's help in identifying a potential suspect in the homicide that occurred outside a popular haunted house. Deputies responded to a call about a shooting early Sunday morning in Pontiac, Michigan. And they said this haunted house is ranked number one in the U.S. today in 2019. Police said the victim and his girlfriend were waiting in line in the haunted house when a suspect was ahead of them, alleged suspect who was ahead of them, wouldn't move. And the victim and suspect exchanged words as they thought the victim had cut in line in front of them. And they ended up going separate ways in the parking lot. And the 29-year-old victim was struck in his side, neck, and chest. And it was brought to the hospital and is now pronounced dead.
Yeah, but this John said before, man, like, it's just crazy that it even got to this point. Like, no guns should have been involved in this whole situation. The two people should have talked about the situation, they stand the third, and just let it rock. You feel me? Like, y'all both went to the haunted house to enjoy yourselves. Y'all both went there to have a good time, get scared a little bit, whatever the case may be. But shooting, I just don't feel like it was meant to go that far, just me personally.
Yeah, it just sounded, you know, they could have, you know, talked it out between two men, you know, could have discussed it and not even had to go this far to shooting the guy. And now he's dead over, supposedly he got cut in line, which is never that serious or that deep. But people die over the most stupidest things nowadays, which is ridiculous. People don't really like to talk anymore, or even if you are going to fight, they don't like to use their hands. It's just the guns, their first answers. And
yeah.
Now this guy is dead, and he's this guy, other guy that got away. Is on a, they looking for him. You know, he's on a run, and asking for him to be identified and to get him and locked up. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Definitely gotta stop all this. Between all this violence and shooting and stuff that's been going on lately, this definitely isn't the way to solve your problems.
Yeah.
At all. But yeah, on to the next topic. Parents of Mexico is missing students remain hopeful 6 years after disappearance. Luis still points to the hope that son's alive, even though many people in that town believe he's gone forever. Very few people are still supporting us. 6 years is a long time. That's how long it's been since Salambre last saw her son, Christian Alfonso Rodriguez, also known as Lolo Rodriguez, was a 19-year-old student. He had just begun his first semester for the School of Teachers in a nearby town in late September 2014, joined a group of about 100 students from his traveling college traveling in two buses to state a protest in Iguala City, 2 hours away by car. Sometime between the night of September 26, 2014, the following morning, the buses were intercepted by local police and federal military forces, and the windows were shattered by bullets, and there was blood everywhere, and 43 students, including Christian Alfonso Rodriguez, had gone missing.
Yeah, it's good to see that they still, like, you feel me, still hopeful that their the six students are still, like, still alive. But I meant that the students are still alive after those 6 years. But that's just, 6 years is definitely a long time for, like, to even think that they would still be around. Like, you would think that eventually they would have found their way back home, like. Hopefully, if they still are alive, that they do. But 6 years is definitely a long time to think that they wouldn't be home. They wouldn't be home by now.
I must say, 6 years is a very long time. I'm talking about 43 students that are missing, and usually when you've gone for that long, you know, most cases you hear that the kid or people are usually dead. So mm-hmm. Yes, that they still have hope. I hope they are still alive. I hope, you know, nothing has, you know, went wrong, and hopefully, you know, they come back home to their parents, and their parents are worried because 6 years is a very long time, and a parent's worst nightmare is to bury their child. So
yeah.
I don't want, you know, they don't want to see.
Yeah, you never wish that. You never wish that on anybody.
Right, not unless you really see any more parents, you know, bury their children, as we see that enough today in today's world, every day's world, you know. So I hope they are still alive, and hopefully they get found sometime soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. On to the next topic. Fourth grader suspended by having a BB gun in his bedroom during virtual learning. A 9-year-old Louisiana student was suspended after a teacher reported seeing a gun in a boy's bedroom during a virtual class. The attorney representing the child's family said it was a BB gun, and the school went too far. Plan is on campus policy, all campus weapons policy without considering the privacy of the child and his family. And he was alarmed what appears not only being multiple violations of both state and federal constitutions, but also blatant government overreach by the school system. This is very absurd.
Yeah, well, for me, when I seen this, I was like, if first off, it's not really. It's kind of both for me. Like, the school, like, the teacher, that shouldn't, it really doesn't have anything to do, like, a BB gun being in a child's room, like, doesn't really have nothing to do with you, really. Like, if you're doing virtual learning, and I understand that guns and all that, like, nobody encourages guns and it shouldn't be allowed, but if a kid has a BB gun in his room, he's there to learn. He's not there for you to be investigating his room and seeing what he's, like, what he has in his room. But for the fourth grader, for the kid, in your case, the parent, it's not really his fault, it's the parent's fault. If you're learning, you should know that you should be in an environment where you shouldn't, you should be learning at the table or somewhere where you know that nothing like that would ever even happen. Or where, like, for me, if I'm learning, I'm not going to be learning in my room where, like, my personal belongings and personal, like, you feel me, personal stuff is at. I would be in the living room or the kitchen, like, you feel me, where I could learn. But I still don't think that's right by the teacher, where she is investigating his room and seeing stuff around his room. Like, that's a little weird to me.
I mean, honestly, even if the teacher would have saw the student with the BB gun, I feel like he should have told him to put it away or something like that. But yeah. I'm not suspending a kid. I mean, you don't suspend a kid, you know, it's virtual learning, like, come up for crying out loud. And I feel like, you know, it's a lot bigger issues than a kid with a BB gun, that, you know, that stuff going on in the world. So I feel like they could have handled it a lot better, you know what I'm saying, by putting it away, or, you know, in your school, you know, they could play with it after or something like that, but not suspending the kid. And, you know, now they go with this whole law attorney stuff and go with this whole procedure. It's just too much. It's extra and it's unnecessary. Suspending kids for something small. Like, not even, I understand you want no guns. Like, I understand that, but the BB guns, not even, like, really, you know, real, whatever. So. I feel like they could have handled a lot better than science. Besides, spending the kid, and now they got to go through all this attorney and stuff. Mm. Yeah, it's a little out of control. It's changed a lot. It's a lot more things to worry about than a kid having a BB gun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm gonna talk sports and the playoffs, as you know, the Lakers beat the Nuggets game 5, 117-107. LeBron had 38 points. Anthony Davis had 27. Caruso and Danny Green both had 11 each. Jamal Murray had 19. Jokic and Grant with 20 each. And Paul Millsap with 13 points.
Yeah, I had the Lakers winning this series in 5 or 6. They came out 1-5. This whole series, I expected it to be a good series, but once I saw the Nuggets go down 2-1, I felt like it was already over, just because of the fact I just saw, like, Murray was tired. He was playing heavy minutes throughout the whole series, and so was Jokic, and they continued to get in foul trouble throughout that whole series. Like, it was hard for them to stay in the game, because Jokic ended up with 3 fouls or 2 fouls in the first half, and almost, like, every game, so it was hard for them to stay solid without them two in the game at all times. But LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're always gonna get theirs. As long as they have a third and fourth guy at least getting double digits, I don't see them losing a lot of games, honestly.
I'm a Lakers fan, so, you know, I want us to win every series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, I had this going, you know, probably 6, not, you know, but It was a very good series, but I want to tip my hat off to the Denver Nuggets, because they definitely wasn't supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. Come back down 3-1 twice. It's just never been done. So I want to tip my hat off. They're a very well-coached young team, and I feel like their future is bright, and they're going to make it to the NBA Finals one day. Yeah. I believe they can. I believe they can. You know, they're a very young team and well-coached. So I know it's going to be a tough series because they fight hard. They play to the end. And, you know, they could have, you know, if Anthony Davis didn't hit the game winner in game two, could be a 1-1, could have been a whole different series.
Yeah.
But they had chances to win games, but, you know, I feel like the Lakers, they closed it out. LeBron, AD, and the others, you know, stepped up and played defense when it mattered in the clutch and locked up when it mattered. LeBron locked up Murray when it mattered. And then game five, you know, it was a good game throughout. I mean, we was up by 16. We should have, you know, you left a foot off the gas and end up coming back. But fourth quarter time, when it got close, LeBron said, get out of my way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit him with. And he had some big top shots, which helped us win the game. He had a 38-10, 30-point triple-double. So it was you know, been a great run for the Lakers, you know, as they are the favorite to win the championship and they are in the finals. But the job not finished.
No, it's definitely not finished.
Job not finished. So that's, you know, advance the next series. Just got to, you know, keep playing the way they're playing, mm-hmm. keep playing defense, and they'll definitely want to hold them.
Yeah, definitely. For the Nuggets, I feel like they're just missing – I feel like they're missing one more piece. Like, I don't know at what position, but I feel like they're missing one more piece, and they'll definitely giving teams like a run for their money. And then as the Lakers, I mean, LeBron is on a mission right now. You know, Kobe died this year, so he's playing for them. You feel me? The social injustice stuff going on right now, like it's a lot going on, but he knows what he's there for. So I feel like he's gonna get it done.
Right, definitely. And then on to the game last night of the Heat beat the Celtics 125-113. Bam Adebayo had 32 points, Jimmy Butler with 22, and Tyler Herro with 19, Jaylen Brown with 26, Tatum with 24, and Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart with 20 each.
Bam, he was an all-star this year, so I mean a lot of people forget that. He's been playing really well. Jimmy Butler, he's been playing not too crazy, but just solid enough, you know. I feel like in order for the Heat to even win a game in this finals with the Lakers, he's gonna have to be the one beating and scoring. Like I know Bam and Tyler Herro, you feel me, he's turned into a little baby superstar, but I feel like Jimmy Butler has to be the guy in order for them to even make this series, the next series. But I tip my hat off to Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson. Them two been shooting the ball very good for the Heat. And without them two, they wouldn't have won that series. And then for the Celtics, Jason Tatum, all around, he had a good series, but the slow first, like he always started off slow in the first half, and I feel like that killed them because they were playing from behind a lot. Kemba Walker was playing hurt in this whole series. Marcus Smart showed people that he's really a tough player, and Jaylen Brown too, like he's a rising superstar. Gordon Hayward, I don't think he's gonna end up being there next year. He just had a baby. He's coming off an injury, but he's still like he just didn't do enough for them. I feel like he won't be there next year. I feel like for me.
For this series, I predicted the Heat to win. Mm-hmm. And I predicted the Lakers and Heat to go to the finals. So I'm not really surprised with this. But the Heat, they're very another young team, well coached. You know, Eric, I tip my hat off to Eric Spoelstra. You know, got them, and you know, very disciplined, very young. They play together. They play well. Bam is a very good player. He had a great game, great series. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler as well. But they just, you know, Tyler Herro, he's a rookie. I've never seen a rookie with so much poise like him. And Duncan Robinson, you know, as he do shoot the lights mm-hmm. out when he's. So I feel like the Lakers do got their work cut out with this team. So if I'm predicting this series, I want to say Lakers and six. I could see the Heat winning like two games. You know, so, you know, both teams got their work cut out for each other. You know, they're going to game plan, try to stop one another. But Lakers are the favorite to win, so I'm, you know, definitely believe in them. But the Heat will definitely give the Lakers a run for their money, mm-hmm. just because it's kind of well even. Just based on this stuff, I know we have the better duo,
mm-hmm.
but the role player is kind of well even. You know, see who steps up and stuff like that. We have a better game. That's what's really going to come down to, is what role players and who plays the role players and who plays by the defense mm-hmm. and who gets the shots when it matters. So I feel like that's what the series is going to come down to because Bam going to get his, AD and Braun are going to get theirs, Jimmy going to get his point. But it comes down to the others and defense that's what, and coaching. That's what's looking, that those are the three main factors I see it coming down to. Even though the Lakers do have the size advantage. But like I said, the Heat, they fight. They just like the Nuggets. They fight to the mm-hmm. end. They play hard for 8 minutes. So, like I said, it's going to be another great challenge. And we'll see what happens with this series moving forward.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Game one is Wednesday. So, I definitely will be in tune. I look forward to it.
I feel like the Lakers, I told you about this earlier. I feel like it's going to be the Lakers in five. And the only reason I say that, I feel like if the Lakers do lose, it would be their first game just because – they've been losing their first game in every series, and like after that first loss, LeBron, you feel me? He knows how the team is. He fills him out, whatever. And then he goes off and tell how you know what LeBron does. You feel me? So
game one usually a fill out game. I mean, they won game one of the Nuggets, game one usually a fill out game. But I have a great feeling that you know they could win game one. So I'm not gonna say they'll lose game mm-hmm. one. So. But I feel like that he can definitely steal two games, though.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a sweep either, bro. I'm just calling it now before
I'm not going to give it a sweep. Because I feel like the Heat are just too good of a team, mm-hmm. too talented to get swept. So I don't think that's going to happen. So I definitely see him in two games. Definitely just going six, not going to seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, all right. So then to cap it off, we have week three of the NFL. Dolphins happy the Jaguars 31-13. Seahawks with the Cowboys 30-31. I'm struggling that game. Come back to that. Bears and the Falcons 30-26. Another game I'm going to speak on. Bills and Rams 35-32. The Browns beat Washington 34-20. Titans beat the Vikings 31-30. Patriots beat the Raiders 36-20. Niners beat the Giants 36-9. Bengals and Eagles end up in a tie. Texans beat the Steelers 20-21. Colts beat the Jets 36-7. Panthers beat the Chargers 21-16. Bucks beat the Broncos 28-10. The Lions beat the Cardinals 26-23 and cap it off for Sunday night. The Packers beat the Saints 37-30.
All right, so what games you want to speak? I watched some games. You feel me? I didn't watch all of them, but we can speak.
I'm gonna speak on the Cowboys. I'm a Cowboys fan. So I'm definitely speak on this game. This game, it was a very good game. You know, it was a tough game. I expected it to be, you know. But what it comes down to is Dak played a great game. Besides the fumble he lost and the two picks he threw for four, say, two, three TDs. So I can't really blame him. The offense did what they supposed to do. But it's just the defense, the secondary is just terrible. They got, like, burnt all day. Freaking, I mean, I give props to our pass rush. We got to Russell Wilson, like, three mm-hmm. times. Got a lot of hits. So I give him that. But freaking Ty Lockett was just killing us. DK Metcalf could have scored twice, but once, you know, he kind of late, though he was, you know, it was easy and he ended up getting a strip. But I don't know. At the end of the day, it comes down to secondary. That's like our weakest part right now. And this definitely was a wonderful game. We was down 15 and then 30-15. We came back to the lead. It was the end of 31-30, like 3 minutes mm-hmm. left. They drive down the field. They scored. Went for two and then we come back down. Down now, throw pick games over, but it all comes down to how they just gotta get a stop. This was definitely a wonderful game that we couldn't
win. Yeah, I definitely seen some of the highlights for this game. I just needed one. But
definitely could have won.
Russell Wilson, he's a problem, man. Like five touchdowns. That's elite.
He is a problem. The Bears and Falcons. The Falcons blow another 16-point lead in the quarter. Look, man. All I say is the fourth quarter. Look, man, if you're a Falcons fan, man, you might call your season over because they are just a mess. They blew a lead last week to Dallas, and then they blew another lead this week. They just got it rough, man. Like, if you're a Falcons fan, man, I really feel sorry for y'all, man. I feel sorry for y'all fans.
What's crazy is I didn't even know Nick Foles was the quarterback for the Bears now. Like,
I mean, he's there. They signed him. I think he started last week, and I mean, he started this past week, and now they're saying he's gonna be the starter.
He threw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter by itself. So, I mean, Me personally, I'm an Eagles fan. I wish we never would have given him up. He was like the perfect fit for our offense. But I'm not surprised that the Bears are 3. They got a solid team. I don't see them winning anything crazy, but they're definitely a solid team and a scary team to watch. With yeah, that's him having Jimmy Graham and Robinson the second. That's a good little wide receiver core.
Speaking of Eagles, what the hell is going on with them?
Oh yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, we need to.
Speaking of the Eagles, what is going on with them?
A tie, it makes no sense to me because the game just was getting me so mad because we're in overtime and we just couldn't score. Like we're punting the ball back and forth in overtime. There's no way we couldn't get a field goal, and every time we tried to get a field goal, it was a false start, so it pushed us back. Weren't in field goal range anymore. So I'm like, I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the quarterback, like with the silent count. Like I don't know what it is.
Look, man, Carson Wentz is playing terrible.
Yo, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. So I talked to some Eagles fans and they're like, I love Carson Wentz. This, that, the third. I don't like me personally. I did, but ever since he's been injured, he hasn't been the same. And I felt like if we would have kept Nick Foles, like we would be perfectly fine. Nick Foles just knows the Eagles' offense, like by like the back of his hand.
Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, but to me, I think he's a little overrated. Yeah. Just because you know people try to say he's better than Dak Prescott, which I really don't see how. Because Carson Wentz hasn't even won a playoff game. One, two, he hasn't. Carson Wentz hasn't really done anything. Yeah. Like he didn't. He didn't win yet. Nick Foles won yet. Won that.
He did.
I mean, Carson Wentz, he gets to the Eagles to playoff last year, give him credit, and he ended up being hurt, and he's out for the game.
That season, he was almost MVP. If he would have never got hurt.
Yeah, he had MVP year, then he tore the ACL, and then Nick Foles, you know, carried that to the playoffs. And then last year, he played a full season, and first playoff game, and then he gets hurt like 10 minutes into the game. So it's like,
Like looking at the Eagles thing, and it says 0-2-1. Like that just looks so sad to me. Like we don't have a win at the top.
I'm not even gonna lie. Whole division is looking bad right now.
It's either weak or tough. Really, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's just.
I mean, it's only 3 games, so you know, teams, you know, all teams don't really start off fast. Mm-hmm. You know, between like midway through the season, that's when teams start to take rhythm. So I'm not gonna count anybody out. I'm not gonna count my Dallas yet. I'm gonna give them to about like halfway through the like 8 games, see where they at, and see where it goes, and then that's gonna be the prediction of my season.
Eagles been banged up since the beginning of the season, and
everybody's banged up, man. Everybody's catching injuries.
We might have the hardest schedule because we had the Rams already, which is a solid team. We got the 49ers next week. We got the Steelers after that. Then we got the Ravens. Then we got the Giants and the Cowboys. Then we got the Giants again. Browns, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Cardinals. You feel me? Like we got a tough schedule, so we got to get together.
Yeah, a tough schedule, but you gotta be able to pull up some of the wins. You know, you want to get this spot in the playoffs, so it's gonna be interesting seeing what y'all do moving forward and how Carson step up to the challenge and stuff like that.
If he does step up, I don't. We're gonna see, man. We definitely gonna see.
I'm gonna say. Next thing I want to talk about before I close things up is Doc Rivers is no longer with the Clippers. I'm kind of not surprised by it. I kind of am, but then again, kind of again, I'm not, because, you know, I feel like something was going to happen. He's going to split his team up, and he was going to go. So, him not being there kind of is a shock, but then again, it's not. But the Clippers, they did underachieve this season. They were supposed to be the favorites. They were supposed to be in the conference finals with the Lakers, but they, as we all know the story, they blew a 3-1 lead in the semifinals to the Nuggets. And now, they're looking for a new head coach.
So. Yeah, what's crazy to me about that is all the hype that went into the season, and now Doc Rivers, like, don't get me wrong, you're supposed to blame the head coach, but it's really not just him. Like, he did make a lot of mistakes in those playoffs to where it did cost them, like, with subbing and all that, that's not a third, but it still does come down to the players. Like, the players got to get it done on the court. Like, there's no way all the superstars they have and good role players that they have, they still should have got it done. No way they lose. No way they lose the Nuggets in that series. Just absolutely no way.
Yeah, good. They definitely should have closed it out. It was up 3-1, and they had a 15-point lead in Game 5, a 19-point lead in Game 6, and a 12-point lead. You gotta get it done. And then in Game 7, your two stars had 14 and 10 points. Just 1-for-11 in the second half. No points in the fourth quarter. It's not gonna cut it at all. That's a recipe for disaster. But I'm not surprised because Paul George always disappears in the playoffs. You know, he's as good a player as he is. I mean, I like him as a player, but playoff time, he's just really just unreliable to me. And year in, year out, when it comes down to when it matters in the big moments, he just never shows up. So I'm not surprised by it. He disappeared.
I haven't seen him. Like me personally, I haven't seen him play to his top potential since Indiana. And in order for him, I feel like, to get his respect back, he's going to have a season next year where he's averaging at least 25. Like, me personally, he has to at least do something to get his name back out there. For me personally, I don't even see him as one of the top superstars.
I mean, they're going to try to run it back next year, you know. But that franchise is just cursed. I mean, it's been 50 years. You haven't never made a conference finals. They had a chance a few years ago. And he blew a 3-1 lead to the Rockets, and then it's third time Doc Rivers blew a 3-1 lead in the series. So it's not his first pass. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. But at the end of the day, you gotta get the job done. There's really no excuse for it. It all comes down to it. You gotta get it done when it matters. When you're up that big, you can't let yourself the gas, and they just underachieve, and they you know, disappointed a lot of people that picked them to, you know, possibly win the finals. Or even get there, so
see what happens. Yeah, for sure.
But before I end this off, I wanna say the election is coming up in November, so make sure everybody get out there and vote, because every vote matters and every vote counts. And I definitely want to get Trump.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So I definitely don't want him having a second term, because Trump really don't care about black people and stuff like that. As he's not really the most trustworthy person when it comes to his facts and stuff like that. He has told a lot of lies, stuff like that, and fake news and all that nonsense. So definitely,
I feel like, yo, honestly, yeah, Trump and Biden, I feel like they both bad, bro. Honestly,
I mean, you might feel like that. You might not like one or the other, but honestly, if I had to choose, I gotta choose one. I'd rather choose. I gotta go with Biden, to be honest. I feel like Biden could do some kind of change than what Trump.
I mean, I feel like even though Trump is racist, he doesn't. For me, he doesn't. I'm not saying I'm voting for him or whatever. But even though he is racist, he doesn't hide his racism. Like Biden tries to act like he's not, and he is too. Like, you feel me? Like, I feel like they both like got weird personalities, and I don't know. It's a little weird to me. I don't know.
I mean, this election is going to be real interesting. You know, we're about to be October, so we're about, you know, a little less than a month away. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when it's always on TV, the debates, and that's going to be going on throughout the next few weeks and stuff like that. When the day comes and the votes, we'll get the more votes and stuff like that. So it's going to be very interesting to see in this
country. Yes, it is.
Who's going to change what, how the world is going to be affected by it and stuff like this.
So, for sure.
One crazy year, one roller coaster year. Definitely. When it's all said and done this year is gonna be, talked about for a long time. When it comes to history books, and this is gonna tell a story for our children, you know, about 2020, and definitely don't want them to go through this. So, that said, go out and vote. Every vote matters. Every vote counts. Get out there, and this is pretty much the conclusion of the episode. I appreciate my boy Jalen
coming up. Anytime, bro. Anytime.
And definitely. So, check this one. Check the episode out. Speak some good topics. Cover some good topics. Good analysis. And, you know, definitely have him back on another episode in the future. So next time. Your host,
Tyler
Brown. I'm out.
Bro. Just thank you for having me on the podcast, man. I hope everybody, you feel me, get into that bag, doing what they love, man. Keep doing your thing.
I said, you're the man. Chase your money, you know, stay out the streets, chase your bread.
Support your friends, man.
Yeah, definitely do that. Definitely gotta support your friends, you know. and what they do. You know, that's at the end of the day, I want to see everybody in my circle that I'm close and I care about win and be successful in life. So, but yeah, this is concludes our episode. It's gonna be out everywhere. Make sure you tune in. Tell a friend to tune in and just spread the message. All right. We're out.